You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
The last guest of the show has just put out their debut album. They are a filmmaker that is sort of their bread and butter, but they've also been dabbling in music, and they've just put out this new record called Martin is Zgorne Bella. It is a gorgeous acoustic record, which I'm very looking forward to playing a track from, and I'm very much looking forward to having a chat. Our guest is Martin Sagadin, who has just released this album, and they are on the line joining us from somewhere, probably in New Zealand. I couldn't tell you. Good morning to you, Martin. How are you?
Hello, good morning. I am joining indeed from New Zealand. I'm joining you from Lyttelton.
Oh, the Big L.
The Big L is what they call it. Everyone calls it.
Certainly, yeah, what well, no one calls it. How are things in Lyttelton? It seems like a very cool, creative spot.
It's a cool, creative spot. Pretty hot today. It's 30 degrees here today. But yeah, it's definitely feeling good at the moment.
The
exciting parts of it are, you know, the music and the arts stuff. That's what's exciting to me anyway.
Not the weather,
not so much.
Well, in prep for this thing, our program director, Fee, sent me a voice message of you pronouncing the album name, and there was a rather loud bird in the background. Are you surrounded near wildlife?
I am. I do have, I have a blackbird that's my friend. He comes around every day. Mm-hmm. He might come around during this interview. He's the exciting thing. Well, the wild thing is that he is. I don't know how else to say this, but I knew his dad. Blackbird used to bring his little kid around.
Oh, that's so cute.
And would be fed porridge and hang out, and the little kid would hang out, and the old man got gray and old, and I think died, but the little kid has continued coming. And the kid is, you know, like the youth of today, very rude, very...
Always on their phone.
Very loud.
Yeah.
very demanding.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. God
but
damn.
He's, you know, so he's my friend, my blackbird friend that I have here.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very sweet. You know, maybe this will be an intergenerational thing. You'll just be, you know, hopefully it's not a curse.
Feels like a blessing.
I saw an interview with you where you said the best virtue in filmmaking, which I guess is your traditional medium, that filmmaking is being eloquent between collaborators to ultimately communicate eloquently to your audience. Have you found this to be the same for music making as well?
It's a really good question. Way to spin those words back at me, but I love it. It's basically, yes. The thing that is fascinating here is that, you know, none of my collaborators know how to speak Slovenian, right? So it was based a lot on trust, and eloquence takes on a different form when you're talking in music, I guess. Brooke Singer produced this record that's just come out today, and she didn't ask for any of the translations for the songs as we were working on them. Which was a real kind of, I don't know, it was a real sign of trust for me to be able to go like, okay, you get it. I think you just get it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was definitely collaborators on the record that wanted translations that thought that that would help. But yeah, the collaborations just determine the way that you end up producing the thing. So, like you said, it's an acoustic record. It's there's not any electric instruments on it. So I very sort of carefully picked my collaborators for who was going to play the different instruments on top of the bass line, which I can play, which is the guitar, the mandolin, and the fan organ, which is the sort of instrumentation that makes up most of the record. But yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be funny, though, if the actual lyrics on the record were just, you know, irreverent, you know, just jokes? Wouldn't that be great? The whole time?
These we're just really crass.
Yeah, yeah. Just swear words in Slovenia. Man. The album is released on Butter Bing Records, which I think was quite funny. Is the name of that a reference to the Sopranos strip club, or is it just like the mafia slang?
I'll have to ask Ben.
Please do, and please get back to me.
100%.
You grew up in Slovenia, but you've been here for the past 19 years, by my calculations, since 15-ish. Have you felt that with the distance, you've felt disconnected at all from the mother country?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the experience of being an immigrant, I guess. You're always feeling like somewhat torn between two different places. Mm. And trying to find some sort of balance. You know, a few years back, I crossed over the threshold of being here for over half of my life, so definitely has become a home, but there's always a link that I want to keep with my culture and so on. Oh, look, someone's shown up. My Blackbird's just shown up.
Blackbird Jr. over here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's like the point of this record, it seems, is to keep that flame alive, to borrow a term from Te Ao Māori, the Ahikaroa, the sort of ancestral flame. One thing I really like about this album is the cover art, which is this very gorgeous black and white photo of you looking pensively at the camera, and the dark and the bright spots are turned up to 11 on this thing. There's a lot of contrast. Why do you think that this photo captures the vibe of this record, which is a resounding celebration of your Slovenian heritage?
So the photo was taken by my good friend Ben Woods, and he's a musician here in Littleton, and I've done a lot of music videos with Ben, and I wanted to basically flip it a little bit, get him to take a photo of me. And we went up into the hills in the middle of winter and found this spot in the forest, and just found an area where like a ray of light was just coming through the trees. So I kind of wanted it to feel like, you know, this album's kind of an introduction in a way to me, which is the name of the record as well. It's Martin iz Gornja Bela, means Martin from Zgornja Bela, which is the village that I'm from. So it's kind of like, here I am. And I wanted something to be, you know, like an introductory, like front-facing album cover is what I was after. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of a reference to, like, I guess, folk album covers of the past. I wanted it to sort of evoke like a lost album from some time ago.
It's something that you'd find in like a maybe an op shop.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And I mean, it's also another introductory there's another introductory aspect to this, because it's your debut album.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're saying, hey guys, I'm here. Of film, you've said that you like producing projects that are imperfect, where you can see the hand that made something. And I felt that was true with this, where there's moments on this thing throughout, like on the fourth track, which is mostly a faint acoustic guitar, and you can hear the environment you're recording in, like we can do now with this interview. Where else do you think that philosophy of like beauty and imperfection comes through on this project?
Where else does it come through? I mean, I'd like to think that it comes through throughout the whole thing. Like, basically all of it was made with like imperfection in mind. Like, I didn't want to make this perfect record. If I did, I would probably just like do something with MIDI. Mm. But again, that was like part of the reason why I wanted to make an acoustic thing, was to be able to make mistakes with it. You know, my mistakes that I can claim. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that, you know, even if I'm not happy with how something turned out, I'm going, no, but I did that. I made that sound.
Or and like you, my you're voice feeling it in the that. Moment, you know, it's real.
That's right. And so all I need to do is be kind of truthful in the moment and be able to capture what it is that I'm after well enough. Mm. That's kind of it. I think, you know, that's enough. I'm always thinking of what would make a good gift, whether I'm making a film or a record. Like, you know, what's a thoughtful gift? It's you know, what do I like getting? I like getting something that's made by somebody or thoughtfully picked out, or, you know, that it's not too much or that it's not too little as well.
Damn, bro is really going off in the background. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's really joining for the interview.
Hello, Mr. Bird. do you have the same sort of appreciation for mistakes when it comes to your collaborators who are working on this project?
That's a funny question. I definitely encourage people to just respond. So I've had a lot of really amazing collaborators on this. There's Xanthi Rook from Recitals, plays the clarinet, as does Ben Lemmy from French for Abbots, and
Cello Forrester from Womb.
That's it, playing the cello. Mm-hmm. Then the Liz Stokes from the Beths playing some flugelhorn. Mm-hmm. So on that side of it, it's really just me going to this musician and saying, hey, I can kind of see this part here. Often it's filling a gap that is otherwise existing in the album, you know, like a sonic gap. I need something in the mids, or I need something in the low end, and I need for it to be fitting in like a puzzle. And so I ask people to just, first of all, respond, and then I fit it together in the edit suite, in this case with Brooke, who is also the mixer.
Did that take a lot of assembling for this thing, or did most the responses feel pretty apt to what you wanted?
It was amazing how quick that was, to be honest. It was most of people's first responses were the ones we went with.
Nice.
So again, it was like I wanted it to feel big but with the smallest amount of elements. You know, so there isn't actually that many parts in all of them, in all of the songs. Some of the songs might sound really big, but like, there's not that many parts actually making up the thing. It's, I wanted it to feel like actually this could be still performed in a room.
I like that you're sort of, the way that you record on this thing, you embrace the sort of the static in the outside world, as I mentioned, as sort of a foundation. So there's always this sense of calm, even when you are like wailing your heart out, like on the track Volk 2, which feels like an exorcism. I can't tell if you're in agony or ecstasy. What were you feeling in that moment when you were recording that track?
That one... Yeah, that one is a heartbreak track for me. Mm-hmm. I had a really bad injury when I was recording that. I had I couldn't walk. I had a foot injury, and it was basically just 4 months waking up with this really excruciating pain. And it was, I wanted a song that would be just that. And you know, there's no words on that one. There's no Slovenian on that one. It's just, you know, it's sort of vocalizations. And I like it when a record does that, breaks out of the sort of lyrical tradition of itself and turns, you know, the vocal into something else, something kind of like an instrument.
Yeah. Completely. I found that on, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Georgia Knight, but on her new album, there's a really, really good closing
track. I've worked with Georgia
lots. Oh, true. Oh, then you know, yeah, the track Cut You Loose from that record. I love how she turns that into a song.
Oh, how funny that you picked that one, because that's, so Georgia opened for my, like, album announcement show back in May this year. And that's the song that we played together.
Oh, my God. That's so beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So beautiful. Oh, my God. Well, you just have put out this album. As I mentioned before, you're mostly known for being a filmmaker and music video director. Do you have plans to direct videos for any of the material from this thing? Or are you going to keep it just an audio experience only?
This one, so far, it's looking like it's going to be just songs. Yeah. It's funny, like that's a question I've been getting a lot, is like, all right, so what are the videos gonna look like then, given that that's what I'm known for? But I don't know, I kind of wanted to make things feel like there was enough there, like it didn't need the visual component. I'm not saying that like what I do is when I make a music video, I'm not saying that like what I do is complete something when I make a video for it, but I definitely search for stuff that I can find, I could augment it or make it, you know, fill in the gaps of the song to make the video with, to make it visually exciting as well. So this just wasn't the way that I was approaching these songs. I wanted them to feel sort of complete. And even in the lack of information, complete, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I get to sort of foster some sort of sense of mystery.
Completely, completely.
Around it, which is a rare thing.
It is a rare thing. In like every new piece of media that comes out has to immediately become a franchise. It's like infuriating.
Right.
You have to know the story. Like with J.R. Tolkien, you just have to know about every tree. That's annoying.
I wanted to make something that wasn't kind of look upable. You know, you can't really go like, oh, what does that song, you know, what does that song mean? I'm singing in a way that's going to make it quite difficult for AI to translate it, for example. And then if you buy the record, it does have lyrics, but the lyrics are handwritten. So again, it's going to be difficult to,
to decipher. Translate it.
So if you want to know what something means, you're going to just like have to come to one of my shows and like ask me. That you can do that.
I did have a question about some of the lyrical themes, but I think I'll leave that because I enjoy the mystery. I prefer the mystery.
You did say
that you're working on kind of assembling a tour for the record. When can we expect to see some news about that?
Oh, so the tour starts today. The first show is tonight at the Flying Nun store here in Christchurch. And then I go off to Auckland, 19th of December. I'm playing at the Pitt Street Church in Auckland, next to Flying Out.
Nice.
Then it's Lyttelton again. I'm playing at the Lyttelton Coffee Company on the 10th of January. And then Wellington on the 13th of February. So it's a bit of a sprawly sort of tour. But
and then maybe a Dunedin show in amongst.
Yeah, I really want to do a Dunedin show as well.
I think it would fit in very, very well. I've been asking every guest I have on the show this question. What are your New Year's plans? Have you got anything in particular ready for the end of the year?
Yeah, well, I'm actually flying up to Auckland for this show. And then I'm staying around a little bit and I'm recording some strings for the next record.
Oh, well, working on it pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. So the next thing is getting close to completion.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Is it similar vibe or are you going like completely different?
So there's actually two new albums that I'm working on. One of them is for my dad who passed away a few years ago and the other one is love songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really heartfelt. That's lovely.
There's a mournful one and a love-filled one.
I mean, the mournful one even could be considered a love song album in a sense.
Yeah, which one's
it's a tribute,
which?
You know.
I leave that to you.
Yeah, very fair. Very, very fair. Well, thank you for joining me on the program, Martin. I really, really appreciate
Thanks
the time.
Thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care.
Glad my black bed got to have some air time.
I have to get them on the program when you come down. You have to take them in a cage.
Exclusive interview.
Thanks, y'all. All right, folks. That was Martin Sagadin. We're talking to Martin about their latest album, their debut record, Martin is Gornibella. We're going to play the 11th track, the second to last track on the record, which, if my Google Translate pronunciation skills are still intact, it is Neboi... Oh, gosh. Neboi se pokaji. Me. There we go. I'm going to roll with that. Here is Neboi se pokaji me. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.